Isn't that something interesting that they're waiting for? Your son's wedding. It's a good thing to wait for. Anything else? The vaccine to come out. Good, good. It's Kelvin, isn't it? Yes, Kelvin and I, we're waiting for our children to sleep through the night. That will be a wonderful thing. There's always something to wait for. But what's it like for you to wait for those things? How do you respond to having to wait? I was at Gordon train station the other day waiting for a bus, and the bus was late. It took over 25 minutes. And so what do most people do when they wait? Well, they pull out their mobile phone and do something on their phone. I did as well. While we waited, we looked for a distraction sometimes. When my wife makes school lunches in the morning, my youngest daughter, she'll see the food, and even though she's had breakfast, she will come up hoping for some early morning tea. Here she is there. That's what she looks like. Brings a chair over and waits like a seagull hovering over some hot chips. A friend of mine was between jobs, and he had applied for his dream job late last year. He had his first interview, and then he waited. A couple of months later, he had a second interview, and he was told they still need to interview someone else. They were pretty confident that he was their man, but he had to wait. And a couple of weeks into this, he called to say that the job was there, but there was an issue in processing the contract, so it was his, but it wasn't official, so he had to wait all the more. And during this waiting period, I caught up with him, and he was battling. He really found it hard to get out of bed in the morning. He wasn't motivated to do many things at all. He got grumpy with his wife and kids, and he even got anxious and lost weight. And we talked about this and found that he hated being out of control. And this job process was out of his control. And so he was stressed, he was worried, and he moped. That's how he waited. Now, he did get the job, by the way. And speaking to his wife after he got the job, he was a different person, motivated again, eager to get things done, enjoying life, all because he didn't have to wait. But as we've heard in our reading today, as followers of Jesus, we are waiting for something. Actually, we're waiting for someone. Jesus has promised to come back. And in our passage, as Jesus heads to the cross, he teaches his disciples how they are to wait for his return. Do we wait distracting ourselves? Are we to stress out while we wait? How do we wait for Jesus? Well, if we listen to God, this world and this age won't reach its conclusion when our sun grows cold. But all things will end when Jesus returns to rule in glory. Did you know this about Jesus? This is a core Christian doctrine, the return of Jesus. And we all know about Jesus' first coming. This was about 2,000 years ago. The Son of God came to earth. He was born, he lived, he died on the cross and was raised back to life. But then we read this in the book of Acts. After he said this, Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. So this is Jesus being taken up to his heavenly Father. But then it goes on to say, the disciples, were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, and then suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So, as Jesus went up to be with God the Father once again, he will return in the clouds of heaven. This is the second coming of Jesus. And why is Jesus coming back? Well, firstly, it's to complete the work of salvation. Here from Hebrews chapter 9. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. That happened in his first coming. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So we will finally be brought into the kingdom of God. Jesus will bring in the new creation, a world as with all that it should be, where everything revolves around God the Father. But in the meantime, we wait. So Jesus is coming back to bring salvation, and he comes back as judge of the world. Hear this from 2 Thessalonians. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. All that is evil will be judged and done away with. All the problems that rebellion against God brings, Jesus is returning to bring them to an end. John Calvin writes, and he will appear to all with the ineffable majesty of his kingdom, with the glow of immortality, with the boundless power of divinity, with a guard of angels. Jesus will return. He'll finalize the work he began on the cross, his work to reconcile all things to himself, so that all will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. But our passage today tells us we don't know when this will happen. Did you see that in verse 36? But about that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And so we, you and I, are somewhere between these two comings. But are we here, with still a long way to go, or here? We don't know. And so we must wait for Jesus. But how? If we're followers of Jesus, how do we wait for Jesus' return? Well, from our passage today, we wait as those who don't want to be surprised by his coming. We wait as servants who will give an account for their service. And we wait as those who know his coming may be long delayed. So firstly, we wait as those who don't want to be surprised by his coming. And Jesus compares his coming to the flood in Noah's time. We read a little bit about the story of Noah's Ark and the flood. I just happened to be reading that through in my quiet times this week. And what was happening before the flood came? Well, normal things. Grab your Bible again, open up to Matthew 24 and verse 38. For it describes there that in the day, this is what 24:38. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. So the people in Noah's day were just going about their daily lives. They had no mental category to comprehend that the world as they knew it was about to end. And they certainly weren't going to listen to Noah and all the craziness about building this big ark in the middle of the desert. But this is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. It will be a complete surprise to the world. But it must not be a surprise to us. Have a look at that next paragraph. Look at what we're commanded. I'll put it up here as well. We are to keep watch and be ready. And Jesus drives this home with a little parable. Have a look at verse 43. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. This happened to us a little while ago. We were coming home from holidays. We'd just had our best holiday in years. I went to the front door at midnight and the door was jammed. I couldn't get in. And it turned out we had been robbed. Now, we lost some jewelry and other stuff. The worst thing was the kids were freaked out. It really put a dampener on our holiday. But if we'd known the thief was coming, well, we would have come home early to protect the house. We would have made sure that the window he broke in from had a big bolt in it. But we didn't know, and so we weren't ready. Well, with Jesus, we don't know. And so he's telling us to be ready. Verse 44, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So be ready. I wonder if maybe a couple of us are on the fence about Jesus right now. Maybe you've been coming to church for a little while or been joining us online, but you've never actually committed your life to Jesus, never actually accepted the forgiveness that Jesus brings you. You've never said anything like, Jesus, you are my king, I'm living for you. Well, if that's you, my friend, you're not ready for the return of Jesus. You've left your house wide open. You'll be the one who isn't taken into God's kingdom. You'll sadly be surprised when he comes, when you see that Jesus is the true king of the world, and it will all be too late. And so if you've heard what Jesus has done to bring you to God, but you're only kind of half in to following Jesus, well, Jesus is coming back, and today is a great day to be ready for him. And all you need to do is accept Jesus as your king. Then you'll be ready. I'd love you to chat about what it means to be ready for Jesus, knowing his forgiveness and entering into a good relationship with God the Father. I visited Graham Kemmis in hospital the other day, and he was telling me about when he visited his dying father, years ago, and his dad said to him, I'm ready. I'm ready to meet Jesus. And Graham said to his father, how do you know that you're ready? And he said, I know I'm ready because I know my sins have been washed away from Jesus, by Jesus. There was a man who was ready for Jesus to return. And so we too are to wait as those who don't want to be surprised at the Master's return. But we are also to wait as servants who will give account for their service. In our next bit of the reading, God's people are not just to sit around and wait for the Lord's coming. We're to work. We're to serve. We are all, if we're God's people, in God's service. And as we wait for Jesus, we are to be wise and faithful servants. Have a listen to this next segment, or read on with me, verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he'll put him in charge of all his possessions. And so with that little parable, if we serve Jesus faithfully and wisely, then he'll grant us more responsibility when he comes. What we do now in the service of the Lord matters. Jesus sees our service and he will reward faithful work. Now remember, this is not saying that how we serve Jesus earns us the right to be his people. Now, of course, it's what Jesus has done on the cross that makes us right with God. But this is how we wait. Knowing Jesus has died for us, we wait as faithful servants doing faithful work, looking forward to the reward that will come. So what does faithful work look like? Well, it's work that is others serving, not self-serving. It's serving to benefit other people, particularly in their faith in Jesus. And so in this parable, the faithful servant makes sure others are well fed. But then there's another servant in this parable who doesn't think of others but only himself. Verse 48. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. Here's someone who has forgotten he has a master and doesn't think that master will come anytime soon. And so he just does what he pleases. He takes advantage of others. He's the one who gets fed. He's out partying and getting drunk. How terrible it will be for the master, or when the master returns. Now, maybe you're in a position of leadership in God's household. You might be a Bible fellowship group leader. You might be on staff here. You might be a parent leading your children to follow Jesus. Maybe you're just seen as a leader, someone influential. But the warning here is, may we be servants who are faithful and not self-indulgent. The example used here, you know, maybe you're prone to having a few too many times. And so you don't think about Jesus coming back, you happily get drunk. Or maybe you are pursuing the respect of others that they give you. You're seeking that. Maybe you're serving to the detriment of others instead of their good. Are you looking down on those beneath you? Well, friends, if that's you, you're in danger because Jesus is coming back. He knows all that we do. And if we are like that, he will put us with the hypocrites. Remember them from a couple of weeks ago? You're not ready to come back, for Jesus to come back. But you can be. You can be because of Jesus' first coming. He has died for your sins. He died to save you from the consequences of unfaithful work. And so if that's you, repent today. Turn from being self-focused. Turn from being self-serving. Turn from being self-pleasing and accept the forgiveness that comes through Jesus. Turn from your unfaithful service and by God's grace, serve faithfully and honourably. And then you'll be ready for Jesus' return. And so may our lives be filled with faithful service. Maybe it's faithfully praying for others. Maybe it's chatting to my family afterwards to help in Cornerstone. Whatever you do, do it to the benefit of others, faithfully for the Lord. All right, well, there's one more aspect of how to wait for Jesus. And we see it at the start of chapter 25. Have a look at that. It shows that we are to wait as those who know his coming may be long delayed. Jesus could come at any point, and he will, but it may be long delayed. The parable goes like this. It's about a wedding, a country town wedding. And when I think of country town weddings, I think of Downton Abbey. I didn't quite make it through all the seasons, but there's this one memory I've got. I don't know why I remember this scene from Downton Abbey, but it was one of the series. There was a wedding. Was it Lady Mary and Matthew? I've got no idea. But what I do remember is the whole village dressed up and decorated for the wedding. The wedding ceremony wasn't only for the bridal party and their distinguished guests, but when the bride and groom came out, the whole village was there to celebrate. Well, it's a bit like this in the parable. There are 10 young women waiting for the groom. The groom's the one in the focus because the groom, you know, stands for Jesus in this parable. And the ceremony is taking forever, as it could do back then. It's dragging on through the night. And at midnight, the groom is finally coming past. But only 5 of the women are there to greet him with lamps burning. The other 5 didn't think he would take so long, and so their lamps ran out of oil. You know, they didn't pack the spare AA batteries, so they had to go and buy some. And so when those 5 return, the banquet door is closed, and they are locked out. But the 5 who do make it to the banquet, they were prepared for the long wait. They made provision in case the groom took a long time. And so must we. Jesus may take a long time to return. Now, if I were told that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, then I'd have a frantic day. I'd go over to my mum and do the best to convince her that Jesus is King and Saviour. I'd make sure that all of you were ready to face the Saviour as much as I can. You know, I'd put in an all-nighter calling people, telling them to turn to Jesus. But Jesus might take a long time. And remember the words of the Apostle Peter. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So we may think Jesus is slow in returning, but Jesus is waiting himself for more people to come to repentance. And that may take some time. And so I can afford to play the long game with mum, seeking opportunities here or there to share Jesus with her. I can rest, take time out. I can look to be strategic, maybe looking to train and raise up others who share the gospel with others in the future. I can prepare for ministry, those who will serve Jesus long after I'm gone. But I must never let my guard down and think that I'll just focus on this aspect of my life and deal with Jesus later. We don't know when Jesus will return. We don't need to be frantic now, but we mustn't stop serving him. Because Jesus is coming back. And God is telling us today in Scripture that we are to wait for Jesus as those who don't want to be surprised by his coming, as faithful servants, and those who know that his coming may be long delayed. And so can I wrap up by just sharing that I do get the occasional niggling doubt as a Christian. And one of those niggling doubts is, you know, it's been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus came. Is he really coming back? Should I bother waiting for him? Or should I just be like that second servant who just lived how he liked? Those little doubts creep into my head sometimes. But this passage, God is saying to me, Jesus is coming back. God is saying he will. And so make sure you're ready. Don't be surprised or caught out when he comes. May God, when Jesus comes, see you serving him faithfully. And it may be long delayed, don't worry, it's been thousands of years, he's still coming, like a thief in the night. And so may you be persevering in trusting Jesus, and may I be the same. We're going to sing next, and so let us encourage one another of who Jesus is and what he's done for us as we seek to serve him, as we wait for him. When we're ready, we'll put masks on and we'll stand. Thanks, guys.